Good morning.
So today we are celebrating harvest, and thank you to everyone for all you've brought in. That will be a real blessing to Keithley Food Bank, where it's heading. And harvest is traditionally a time to thank God for his provision and for creation, and for all those who grow and harvest our food. And it's also time for us to share, isn't it, what we have, which is why we've got this today. And obviously, most of this didn't grow in a field, probably, but it's more practical to give it in tins like that. Now, here in Yorkshire, we don't see a lot of food growing in fields, do we? What do we have in our fields in Yorkshire?
Sheep.
And cows, maybe. Yeah, there's even some pigs in a field in Silsden. What did you say? Llamas. You do get llamas. Yeah, we do get llamas. Yeah. Alpaca. Oh, they're alpacas. Yeah. I've got a joke about that, but maybe it's not. Should I tell you my joke? Okay. What did the llama do? What did the llama say when he was thrown out the circus? Alpaca my bags. Oh, that's one for you, Graham. You can share that one. Feel free. Anyway, moving away from llamas. Yes, we see cows and we see sheep, don't we, in our fields? Because we live in a hilly place, and that's the most practical thing for farming here. But if we lived in other parts of the country, we might see a lot more fields with crops and fruit growing in it. Combine harvesters harvesting it. It's very flat, and we see a lot of food and veg growing there. Does anyone grow any fruit and vegetables at home? Give us a wave if you grow fruit and veg at home. Some people try to, yeah. I'm not a very good gardener, okay. I really try, but my tomatoes this year pretty much look like this. Despite my mum starting off all my plants for me, giving me very strict instructions on how to look after them. But we don't have a greenhouse, so I'm going to blame that. But if we had to survive on what we grew at home, we would be very thin people. Good job, we don't have to do that. But back in Bible times, people did grow a lot of their own food, didn't they? They grew a lot of their own food and they traded it with other people to get what they needed too. And so the themes of farming and harvest appear in the Bible a lot. And Jesus often used these themes to teach people because they were what people understood and they could relate to it. And so today we're going to think about three different crops in three different gardens that have three very different meanings. Now, children at the back on the colouring table, if you want to listen out to what I'm talking about, you might like to draw some of these as we go along. Now, I need some volunteers to come and try our first fruit. Anyone want to come and try it? It's something nice. Anyone want to come and try it? Okay, we'll have... Yeah, you can all come. It's fine. You can all come. Okay. Come to the front. Yeah, come on up. I promise it's nice. You can trust me on this one. Okay. So come and stand here. Close your eyes. Come and stand. Close your eyes. It's something nice. Don't say that. You know the answer, so you keep quiet. No, it's fine. It's a nice one to start with. Okay. Next one, maybe not so much. Okay. Okay. Everyone close their eyes. Close their eyes. Okay. Come on then. Paste it in. Favour's eager. Good job. Right, what have we got, guys? Apple. It's apple. That's right. Now, we've got apple for everybody. So, do you want to take it to that side? If you just pass it along, just give it to the first, put them around, they can pass them along. So one of you do this side. Christy, you go this side. So just pass it to the first people and they can pass it along. So just give it to them and they can pass it around. Feel free to take some apple if you would like some apple, okay? It might be a bit lemony. I put lemon juice on so it didn't go brown. So, okay, you guys can go and sit down. Thank you for your help. Okay. Now, apple is a clue to our first garden. Does anyone have any idea what our first garden we might be thinking about today might be? Eden. Okay. Now, we don't actually know that there was an apple tree in Eden. The Bible never says that there was an apple, but it often is used to represent it. I asked AI to make me a picture of the Garden of Eden. This is what it came up with, yeah. Now, the only fault in this is that the people are wearing clothes, aren't they, which they wouldn't have been at this point, because that comes in later. But there we go. That's what AI thinks that Eden would have looked like. Okay, Eden was a perfect place, wasn't it? It was a showcase of God's creativity and provision. And in Genesis 1, it says this. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. So right there in the beginning, God provided, didn't he, everything that was needed. He provided what the humans and animals needed to eat, plenty for them all. What are your favorite fruits? Give me a shout out. What are your favorite fruits? Bananas, raspberries, cherries, mango. I'm up with a mango, yeah. That's my favorite. Pineapple, melon, orange, chocolate. If there'd been chocolate hanging from that tree, I could, yeah. There's lots of fruits. Imagine a garden filled with all of these fruits. It's perfect. Imagine that. It was perfect. But this perfect garden was also a garden of choice. It was a garden of choice. Because he loved them, God allowed Adam and Eve to choose whether to love him and obey him or not. And they chose not to, didn't they? They chose not to. God told them they could eat all the fruit in this wonderful garden except that one tree, which is represented by the apple. We don't know that it was an apple, but we do know that they made that choice, didn't they? They made that choice to disobey. And in that moment, they chose to go their own way rather than God's perfect way. And we've been doing the same thing ever since, haven't we? As humans, we choose to live our own way rather than God's way. And when we look around the world, we can see the effects of this all around us, can't we? The world has become, from a perfect place, it's become a place of greed and selfishness where there's no longer enough food for everyone. It's created poverty, it's created war, it's created famine. We haven't looked after God's creation as we are instructed to later in Genesis, which has led to destruction of habitats, to famine, and exploitation of people around the world, hasn't it? And these problems aren't caused by God. They're caused by the human race and the bad choices that we make. That first garden represented by the apple was a garden of choice, and we chose badly. But there's good news, isn't there? Because God is faithful and he doesn't leave us in that mess that we have made. So this brings us on to our second garden. Now, this one might not be quite so tasty, okay? It is still an edible fruit, okay? But does anyone else want to come and try it? Who's feeling brave? Anyone feeling brave to come and try? It doesn't have to be a child. I'm going to pick on adults otherwise. So you may as well volunteer. Thank you, Beth. Close your eyes. Oh, Etty's feeling brave. Anyone else want to come try it? Anyone else? Come on, Mercy. Come on up. Well done. Oh, you're feeling brave. Well done. Okay. I'll just get the bin out just in case. It's only small. Okay. Oh, well done, guys. This is good. You guys are feeling brave. Okay. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. If anyone wants to spit it out, just give me a shout, all right? I think put it straight in the mouth. Yeah. Oh, Beth's happy. That's good. Mercy. Oh, she wants it in the hand. That's it. Oh, bin's there if you don't want it. That's it. Well done, everyone. What is it?
An olive.
An olive. Okay, well done. Go and you've got some to take round if anyone would like an olive. Yeah, you can take them round. Oh, sorry, do you want to help, Christy? Thank you. Don't feel you have to have one if you're not an olive fan. They're strong ones. Oh. Okay. I know it's exciting. Settle down. Okay, olives also grow on trees. Alexa told me some interesting facts about olives today. Apparently, the only difference between black olives and green olives is that green olives are not ripe and black olives are fully ripe. There we go. But olive oil is made out of the green olives because they have more flavour, which is weird because they're not ripe. So it doesn't make sense. But they do both grow on trees, and that is the only difference between them. When we're on holiday in the summer, we went to Croatia, and we saw loads of olive trees. They were everywhere. It's their big crop that they grow, and they make olive oil out of it. And so olives can be eaten as they are. Who likes olives? Put your hands up. Oh, I reckon we're about 50-50. Okay. They can be eaten as they are, but they're also crushed to make olive oil, which is used for loads of things. And in the Bible, there is an olive garden. Can anyone tell me what the olive garden is called in the Bible? Any of the children know what the olive garden is called in the Bible? No, you're not a child, Simon. None of the kids know? Okay, someone else tell me then. Gethsemane, that is right. The olive garden in the Bible is called Gethsemane, which the name Gethsemane means oil press, and it's at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. Okay, so that's where the olives were growing, and then they would press them into olive oil in the garden of Gethsemane. It's a real garden. It's still there. This is it. It's still there today, filled with olive trees, and it's where God, in the form of Jesus, knelt and he prayed, didn't he? He prayed in the garden of Gethsemane. This was another garden of choice. Here, Jesus had a choice, didn't he? He knew what was about to happen to him. He knew that he was going to be betrayed and that he was going to die, that he was going to be sentenced to death. And he, in that garden, he knelt and he prayed to his Father. He said, God, if there's another way, please take this away from me. But he chose to say, yet your will be done, not mine. I will do this. If this is what it takes, I will do this. He had a choice. And he chose, like the olives in that garden are crushed to make the olive oil, he chose to be crushed on the cross in our place for the mess that we have caused. And in Isaiah, it says this, Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our rebellion. That's all the bad things we've done wrong. He was crushed for our sins, all our bad choices. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus chose in that moment to take all of those bad choices that started with that fruit in the first garden. He chose to take that on himself. All of the badness that we had brought into the world, all of that sin, so that we can have the opportunity to have a fresh start, a clean sheet, a new beginning where we choose to say sorry and follow him. The olive garden was also a garden of choice, and Jesus chose us. Now our third garden. This is very different again. It's another nice one. So if you want to come and try something nice, come on up. Do you not trust me now? If anyone wants to come, you can come on up. Got lots of you this time. Oh, Christy's looking at my notes. They already know what it is. You can just think, pick them out themselves. It's grapes, yeah.
Here's one for you then.
Good. Just take a half one. Maybe take one of the half ones and give it to you. That's it. Good job. That's it. Do you want to see it? Here we are. Right then. Who likes grapes?
Me.
Yeah, who likes grapes out here? I would imagine everyone likes grapes. Does anyone not like grapes? Surely everyone likes grapes, even if it's crushed into wine. Right then, we'll pass those round. Does anyone know what a garden of grapes is called? A vineyard, that's correct. Most people like grapes, don't they? They're sweet, they're juicy, and they're full of things that are really good for our bodies. Antioxidants and things that help our immune systems, our hearts, our eyes, our brain. It helps to bring healing in our bodies, which is why, I guess, we sometimes take grapes to people in hospital, don't we? So our third garden is a vineyard. And Jesus uses this garden to describe how we can be different from the world and the mess that we've talked about when we choose to follow him. And it says this in John. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus is saying here that he is the main trunk of the vine. You can see it here. Look how big that trunk is and how delicate the branches are and the grapes. But that trunk is solid, isn't it? Jesus is saying, I'm the main trunk of the vine. And if we choose to belong to him, to follow him closely and know him more and more, we're like the branches that come off from this. We're linked to him. His life flows out through us in the same way that the trunk of a tree brings life and nutrients, doesn't it, to the branches and then to the leaves and then the fruit. Look how solid that is at the bottom. The vine would be nothing, would it, without that trunk? The branches look really feeble, don't they, in comparison? It's all linked to that solid base. And when we're connected to Jesus, we produce good fruit in our lives. And we can see this, can't we, modeled in the life of Jesus. Love, compassion, joy, peace, mercy, kindness, justice, patience. When we connect with Jesus, he grows these in our lives when we walk with him. But this fruit that we produce isn't just for ourselves. It's not just so that we become nice people and feel good about ourselves. It says, didn't it? This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we're connected to Jesus and produce his fruit in our lives, it's to show the world that we are different, that following Jesus as his disciples makes us different. It shows the world that we don't have to stay in the messed up way that we see through our bad choices, that we see in the world around us. All the injustice and the greed and the selfishness that we see, we don't have to look far on the news, do we, to see this stuff. There is another way. We have a message of hope and life. That way is Jesus. And today we've donated all this food to help people in our community, which is a wonderful thing. But actually we have so much more to offer, don't we, than food. Something so much longer lasting, something that's life transforming, a message of hope that can change people's lives. And when we're connected to Jesus in the vine, like we see here, demonstrating what it is to follow him, others will see that in us. They will see that we're different. They'll see that we have his fruit in our lives, and they will be drawn to want to know him too. So we've heard about three gardens. What was the first one, kids? What was the first garden? Can you remember? They did say it. Oh, okay. I can't hear. Sorry. It was Eden, wasn't it, with the apple? Do you remember? The perfect garden where God gave us everything, but we chose to go our own way, causing brokenness to our world and our relationship with him. And then we had the second garden. What was the second one? Not quite so tasty. Olives, that's it. Gethsemane, where Jesus chose to give his life for those bad choices that we make so that our relationship with God can be restored and we can be friends with him again. And lastly, the vineyard. Because of what Jesus did, we can be connected to God, which means we can produce this good fruit in our lives. And we can tell the world and show the world what it is to follow God and to have life and hope through Jesus. So, we've got some different ways to respond. We've looked at three gardens, three fruits, and we've got three different ways that we're going to respond today. So this is going to involve you getting up on your feet. All right, so remembering the apple garden, over on the table here we have a globe and there's some little sticky arrows. And I would like you to write on there where you see brokenness in the world. It could be a country, it could be a specific situation or a global problem that you see in the world, and you can write it on the arrow and stick it onto the globe, okay? So that's our response to the apple garden, where we see brokenness in our world. Okay, the olive garden. Over here on the table, we've got some post-it notes. We can write some prayers of repentance or gratitude for what Jesus did, his choice to save us, on the post-its, and then there's some pins, and you can come and you can pin them on the cross, and you can pray. You can pray those prayers. Oh, sorry, for the world one, obviously, yeah, pray. As you stick those arrows on, pray for those places in the world. Pray for that brokenness that we see. You can do this on your own or you can do it in little groups. It's up to you. And lastly, the vineyard. We've got a beautiful vine that Laura has done for us, stuck on the wall at the back. And we can go and we can write our name on the vine, anywhere on that piece of paper, to show our desire to walk more closely with God, to be connected to Jesus in the vine. And when we do that, we can pray, can't we, for our five people, or one of them, who don't know Jesus, who aren't connected to the vine, who don't know him, that actually we will have a chance to demonstrate through the fruit of Jesus in our lives to that person what it is to follow Jesus. Okay, so brokenness in the world for that one. Sticky post-its to go on the cross to thank Jesus for what he did. And writing our name on the vine and praying for people that aren't in the vine yet that they will come to know Jesus. Okay, so we're going to have like, what time is it? Going to have like 5 or 10 minutes to do this, so feel free to mingle around. You can do one, you can do all of them. If you don't want to do it, you can just sit quietly where you are. That's absolutely fine. But let's respond to what we've heard.